Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles, open them to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'd like to dismiss the children to children's church at this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Amen, church? Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, and some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many here today are believers in Jesus Christ, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Look at your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'd like to begin with verse 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Beginning with verse 7, I just want to read five verses of Scripture, and I want to talk about what is your motivation. What is your motivation for living the Christian life? What is your motivation in the stewardship of your life, in your giving, in your time, and in your talents, and in your treasures? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now, verse 11, you also must complete the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers, and he's telling them about the Macedonians. The Macedonians were people that were giving out of sacrifice. And Paul was actually collecting an offering for the Jews back in Judea. He was collecting this offering, and he was saying to the Corinthians, listen, out of the blessings that you have, I want you to give. He said, you've made a commitment that you were going to do it, and yet he wants you to, you ought to complete it. And so I was thinking about stewardship, and as you know, every once in a while, we talk about this area of our Christian life. Very, very important. Last week, we talked about tithing. And in a time of thanksgiving, like we're in right now, it's a wonderful time to think about the blessings of God. And what is our motivation in giving? You know, the Apostle Paul was telling these Corinthians, he's saying to them, listen, let me tell you the greatest motivation. It is love for Jesus Christ. I was thinking about that song. That verse that talks about the church being birthed. And I tell you, the gates of hell will not prevail against the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and against the church. And as a part of our assignment, God uses the church of the Lord Jesus to propel the gospel so that we can make disciples. And part of that is the sustenance and the provision that make all of this possible. I heard about this mom who was going to test her little girl in the offering. She was going to test her about giving, and so she gave her little girl a dollar, and she gave her little girl a quarter, and she said, I want you to put one in. And so after the service, she said, what did you put in? She said, the quarter. And the mother said, why did you put in the quarter? She said, well, at first, I felt that I should put the dollar in, but then the pastor said, God loves a cheerful giver, and I was definitely more cheerful about putting in the quarter than putting in the dollar. So, you know, Jonathan Edwards, the great theologian, at one time was president of Princeton University. Jonathan Edwards has asked the question, you know, in light of salvation being a gift from God, what is your motivation for living for Christ? I mean, if salvation is a gift, what is your motivation that you might give your resources to the Lord, give your time, give your talent, use your life for the Lord Jesus Christ and live it out? And he said, you know, my life is kind of like the P.S. at the end of a letter, thanking God for all that he has done for me. And as a result of all that he has done for me, I want to live my life for Christ. You know, it speaks to the motivation of our life. You know, Jesus talked a lot about stewardship. Matter of fact, you know, people have said that Jesus talked more about stewardship than he did about heaven and hell. I tell you, that's a big claim. You know, that the Lord Jesus talked more about stewardship than he did heaven and hell. They say that 11 of the 39 parables of our Lord dealt specifically with provision and resources and stewardship. Folks, I tell you, there's so much out there in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a Bible-teaching church. Are you with me? Okay, I got one amen. Okay, all right, look. Are you with me? Okay, in a Bible-teaching church, you just got to deal with it sometimes, don't you? Because if the Bible talks about it, there's so many mixed messages out there, but the Bible speaks so often about provision and about stewardship that we must deal with it. Can I tell you this? I know of no way to disciple people. Now, I'm gonna say this. I want you to hear me. I know of no way to disciple people without having giving as a part of the prescription. It must be a part of it. You can memorize all the scripture you want to memorize. You can study the Bible. You can do it all. But if you're not a biblical giver and you have not become a steward of God's blessings in your life, then I don't believe you're going to have sustained spiritual growth and victory in your life. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I want us to think about the fact that Jesus raised the bar in giving. He didn't necessarily command the tithe. In the Old Testament, there was the commandment of the tithe, and some argue that, you know, the tithing is not for the New Testament. I just would remind you, and we talked about this last week in depth, so I'm not going to go into it in a large way, but I want to remind you that when Jesus came into the New Testament, when his message of the kingdom of God came, he raised the bar in so many areas. He said, you know, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye. I say to you, look, if you just use a word against another person, you say raka, you have committed murder. Jesus always raised the bar. He said, you know, the Bible says, do not commit adultery. I say to you that if you even look on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So really, to be honest about it, the tithing is really a starting point of our giving to the Lord. What would the Lord ask of us in the new covenant? Would he ask less of us in the new covenant with the power of the Holy Spirit in our life than he did in the old covenant? So I want you to think about your motivation in giving. Now, I want you to look at verse number 8. It says, I speak not by commandment, praise God, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. He gives an analogy and a teaching about those that were in Macedonia and their sacrificial giving. And he does that to challenge these Corinthian believers to rise to the challenge to be the committed believers that they had said that they were going to be. And he reminds them of this. He goes, I'm testing you. I'm testing the sincerity of your love. So today, I just want you to think about this. Now, don't just apply this only in your offerings, in your money, but apply this in your stewardship of life. Apply this in the way you spend your time, the way you put your efforts, the priorities of your life, not just with money, but think about it in terms of money and think about it in terms of these other matters as well. So what is your motivation? Well, I think your motivation should change, number one, in your outline, when you look at what you have. In verse 7, he says in verse 7, but as you abound, that word abound means to overflow. Look back, just turn back a page if you need to, but look back at chapter 8, verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2. It's the same word that is in that verse. It says that in a great deal of trial, he's talking about these Macedonians he's putting up as an example, in a great trial of affliction, their abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded. That's the same word that he uses in verse 7, our text, where it says, but as you abound in everything. In other words, it's overflowing. It's welling up. It's like a when Kelly and I built a home in Jacksonville one time, we had a raw piece of property we had to put a well in. And I wanted an artesian well. You know what I'm talking about? An artesian well goes down to the Florida aquifer. And some people call that a flowing well. A flowing well. In other words, you go so deep into the water, down into the aquifer, there's pressure under the earth, and the pressure against that body of water will push that water up through the pipe, and it becomes a flowing well. That means if you don't cap it, it'll actually just keep flowing. It's called a flowing well. Well, we didn't get a flowing well. Flowing wells cost a lot of money, by the way. Anyway, we got what they called a rock well. And we went down into rock, and I said, we got enough water? He said, you got enough water. And I tell you what, we did. We had enough water. It was fine. We had to have an aerator because you have that sulfur. At least we did. We got into some sulfur water. But you aerate, it was fine. Well, this idea of a flowing, to overflow, means to well up. He says to them, look at what you have, Corinthians. He said, You are blessed. You are abounding. There is a welling up of good things. And then he gives some examples. He says, for your faith. The word faith means conviction about God and the gospel. By the way, you are a blessed person. Look at me with your eyes right here. You are a blessed person. If God has given you faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you, that's a blessing to have faith. And he says to the Corinthians, you have that. And then he talks about speech and faith. In speech, and then he says, in knowledge, in all diligence, in that your love, and in your love for us. So think about all these blessings he's saying that the Corinthians have. They have faith, they have speech. The spoken word of the gospel, you think about the speech, you think about the gospel that the Lord has given us to proclaim. And he says to the Corinthians, you have those blessings. And then he says knowledge, spiritual thinking and understanding, to have wisdom from God's word is a blessing. And then in all diligence, that's a zeal in spiritual matters. He says to the Corinthians, look, I'm taking up this offering for those that are hurting in Judea. He was taking an offering back to the Jews in Judea. And he's saying, look, participate in this. You guys have a zeal in spiritual matters. And then in love, and this was representative of their love for Paul and his helpers. He says, we are to be faithful in the offering. He says, this grace also. Look at the end of verse 7. See that you abound in this grace also. What's he referring to? He's referring back to the grace that was demonstrated in these Macedonians, who really did not have so many of the blessings that those in Corinth had. And so he says, you should fulfill that also. I want us to just think about something here at Thanksgiving and think about the blessings that God has given us in our church family. I was thinking about for the last 8 or 9 years, we have been working on an indebtedness. And I realize for some of you that have been here through the whole time, this may sound redundant, but we have new people here that may not know our story. We when we came to this property, we ended up with a $1.6 million indebtedness. And at some point, it took up about 19% of all of our budget. So our budget was really lean in areas of ministry because we had so much we had dedicated to getting out here, getting these buildings built and things like that. And with all the incredible sacrifice of our people, I mean, amazing sacrifice of those that were in the old location. And by the way, when I was a college student, I was in the old location. And when I was youth pastor here back in the 80s, I was in the old location. Matter of fact, Kelly and I got married in the old location. I kissed Kelly. I'm just kidding, not really. I didn't say, gosh, that just came out anyway. Anyway, in the old location. But anyway, the point is, the old location was wonderful, but when we came here, there was such sacrifice. But still, in light of that, we still had that indebtedness that seemed like it was very, very challenging. So a group of our people, our church elected a committee of our people to say, what can we do? They said, well, we need to build an educational building. So that educational building where we had Sunday school life groups this morning was not here at the time. And they said, we need to build that in order to reach more people for Christ, because if we're going to tackle that indebtedness, we've got to have space that we can grow. And so do you know what you guys did? And if you're a guest, I just want you to know this. This congregation raised all the money so that instead of incurring any more indebtedness, we would build that building completely and totally debt-free. It was so interesting, those on that committee, that building committee, dealing with contractors and banks and things, because they didn't know what to do with us. They would say, well, if y'all need any money, we've got it. We said, well, we've got the money. And so we wrote the checks. We wrote the draws because of the faithfulness of our people. So we built that building. And then, in addition to that, that was about $500,000, $550,000. Then after that, and in addition to that, we raised the $1.4 million to pay off the indebtedness of this place. Now, that's a good place to say amen right there. I'm telling you. Folks, I want to tell you something. I want us to think about what we have. What a blessing. Now, as a result of that, there's some things that we were able to do that we had not been able to do. And so we increased our missions giving up by 50%. We increased our youth ministry budget 131%. We brought on a youth pastor. We increased our college ministry 125%. Our children and our preschool ministry budget is up. We brought on a campus missionary that is working on the campus. We support through our church budget to our cooperative program. We give along with other churches. When you give to this budget, can I tell you what you're supporting? You're supporting church planting in Florida and around the United States through the North America Mission Board. You're supporting seminary education for those that feel called to ministry. Some of those funds, as we cooperate with others. Now people say, wow, does that mean those people come and tell you what to do, that we have to answer? No, we are an autonomous local church. The only way I know to describe that is that means we get to do what we want to do under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? In other words, there's not anybody from any other place calling our church up saying, look, you've got to do this. You've got to send money here. You've got to do this. No. We are an autonomous body of believers, and yet there are some things that we believe in that cooperatively we're able to do. And so we're supporting the Florida Baptist Children's Home that is doing amazing work in orphan care and amazing work out here in La Crosse. We have a campus where children can be loved and there's a place for them to live, and foster care, and all these things are supported as we give here to the local church. We're also able to help our women's resource and medical clinic. They call it CIRA, where people in crisis pregnancy can go to get answers, to get help, to be loved, and someone will walk through the process, not just with someone in a crisis pregnancy, but with the male in that situation, the dad in that situation, and provide counseling. Child Evangelism Fellowship is another place that we're supporting. All of that through the budget, and we've been able to increase that as a result of paying off that debt. Hey, can I tell you this? We're going to do it even more. We're going to do it even more. We are embarking, praying about, and moving forward with a Central Asia partnership where we are going to have a strategic ministry in a part of the world that is going to make a difference. I don't think we could have done that had we not gotten out of that indebtedness. But because of the blessings of the Lord, we're able to do that. I know of a couple other partnerships that are brewing. We may get into more of them. Amen, church? We may get into more effort to take the gospel all around the world. All of this is a part of what happens when you give through the budget of our church. And I just praise God for it. So I just want you to think about this. I just want you to think about your motivation. One of the things that motivates me in giving is to know of all these things that are happening through the life of our church. And I just want you to think about, look at what you have. Look at what you have individually. Look at what you have as a church family. And this is one of the motivations that we have in order to give. Number two, look at what he did. Look at what he did. Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for you. In verse 9, he emphasizes this. He says this, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus was rich. Jesus is rich. He's rich. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, co-equal with God. He owns it all, the universe, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the resources of the earth, the gold, silver, and precious stones. And yet the Bible says he became poor. He became poor, the Bible says. He became impoverished. He retained his attributes, his godly attributes, but he chose to take on the attributes of man. So he went, in a sense, from creator to creature. He became finite in his human attributes, from immortal to mortal, from beloved to despised, from the authority to under authority, from owning everything to owning nothing. He was born to a peasant couple, raised by a working man, took on the responsibility of family support. Jesus had one cloak to wear. Jesus had no home or no house. Jesus was abandoned by his siblings and mocked by his hometown. He was subjected to temptation, betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends. Jesus was arrested, tried, insulted, lied about, slapped, whipped, beaten, pierced, spat upon, mocked, abused, nailed to a cross, forsaken by God the Father on the cross as he became sin for us. So he gave everything. The Lord Jesus gave everything. Why did he do it? The scripture says, yet for your sake. His motive, it was for you. So that you through his poverty might become rich. Oh, you're rich, you know. You're holy and acceptable to God. You have a new heart. You have an abundant life. You have fellowship with the family of God. You have spiritual gifts. You have a glorious inheritance in heaven. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You have everlasting fellowship with God. Now, all those blessings are not necessarily in money. Well, I learned something a long time ago. The blessings and the blessings of God is not always in dollars. Most of the time, it's not in dollars. It's in other things. Think about the blessings and think about what the Lord did. And then the third thing, not only look at what you have, look at what he did. The last thing is this, look at what should be completed. Because in verses 10 and 11, he says to them, "And in this I give advice." The Apostle Paul talking to those believers in Corinth. "And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago." This group in Corinth, they hadn't gotten off square one a year ago. They said they were going to, but they haven't done anything for a year. It says, what you were designed to do a year ago, verse 11, "But now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have." I think about this. What an opportunity God has given us as a church family through the life of this church, through the resources that God has given us, to make a difference in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really the only commandment of this passage. If you dissect this passage in the Greek language, you find where he says you should complete it is really the only imperative in this passage. What you were desiring to do a year ago, complete it. So really the lesson is, what is the focus? The focus is our motivation. It is really out of love and gratefulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. What an opportunity we have, ladies and gentlemen, to be a part of God's work in the world. Don't miss the blessing in your own spiritual life of being a giver. Don't miss it. What an opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity to see God move through the life of this church as we channel the resources of our church budget to make an impact in our community and around the world. There was a guy named Walter who had a buddy named Arthur. And Walter, he took Arthur out in the country. He got him in the car. He said, Arthur, I want you to get in here. I want to go on a drive with you. And he took him out in these fields. And he said, there was nothing out there. It was just basic farmland. There's a few cows here and there, but it's just totally raw land. And Walter said to Arthur, he said, look, I'm going to buy this land out here. I've got some big plans for this land right here. And he said, Arthur, I can't buy all of it, but I'm going to buy a chunk of it all. I mean, a huge chunk of it all. And he said, I want you to buy what's around it because I've got big plans out here. And he said, I want you to get in on it. You need to buy the perimeter. And he said, I promise you it'll be an amazing opportunity. And Arthur said, no. He said, man, I'm not going to do that. This is my buddy, and he's kind of a dreamer, and he's got all these ideas. And he said, but I'm not that crazy. I'm not going to do that. So he didn't do it. Years later, Arthur, who was Art Linkletter, told the story. He said it was the biggest financial mistake he ever made because Walter was Walt Disney. And the land that Walter was talking about is what is now known as Disneyland in California. Now, you think, boy, I tell you what, that Arthur, that Art Linkletter, that guy was a dummy. He should have bought that land. Can I tell you something? The biggest mistake you could ever make is miss the opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven by giving and using your time, using your talent, using your resources to go into God's kingdom. You know, you can send ahead, Randy Alcorn says in his great book, The Treasure Principle. He says you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And ladies and gentlemen, as you become obedient in giving, I want you to pray about it. As you become obedient in giving, as you live life with an open hand, you know, I realize this. Every good thing that I have in this life has been from the hand of God. Every good thing. And every time I have made the decision to grasp onto something, and I mean hold it tenaciously, like this is mine, I've regretted it. But every time you live with an open hand, you say, Lord, everything I have in this world is a gift from you, and I want to invest it in not just money, but time, your talent, your priorities, but also the sustenance of life, your resources. God blesses. What an opportunity to make that investment. I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.